Tanter Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents ADHD, What Every Parent Needs to Know, 3rd edition, by Mark L. Woolreich, MD, FAAP, and Joseph F. Hagen, MD, FAAP. Narrated by Andre Bellito. Please note, many kinds of healthcare professionals provide primary care for children and manage their attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. These include pediatricians, pediatric nurse practitioners, and pediatric physician assistants, as well as family medicine physicians, family nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and others. To be inclusive and specific, we will refer to your child's health professional as a pediatric clinician. Likewise, both women and men are pediatric clinicians, so expect alternating pronouns for us as well. The information contained in the book is intended to complement, not substitute for, the advice of your child's pediatric clinician. Before starting any medical treatment or medical program, you should consult with your child's pediatric clinician, who can discuss your child's individual needs and counsel you about symptoms and treatment. If you have any questions about how the information in this book applies to your child, speak to your child's pediatric clinician. A note on gender. A good deal of discussion went into the use of pronouns he and she in this book, particularly when describing different subtypes of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, or different problems faced by children with ADHD. Although boys and girls can have any subtype of ADHD or any of the related problems, the ratio of boys to girls diagnosed with ADHD is about 3-1. And the combined type of ADHD, with all three key elements, impulsivity, hyperactivity, and inattention, is diagnosed about 2.5 times more frequently than the predominantly inattentive type. However, if all the children in a school system were evaluated, it is likely that the inattentive type would be found to be about 1.5 times more common than the combined type. The inattentive type is more likely to go undiagnosed, and girls are more likely to have that subtype than boys. With this as background, we have attempted to balance the use of he and she pronouns in this book in an interchangeable way. Introduction. You have probably picked up this copy of ADHD, What Every Parent Needs to Know, either because your child was recently diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, or because you wish to learn more information about how you can best help your child with his ADHD. This book is the combined work of many healthcare and mental health professionals with expert levels of experience in caring for children like your child. All these colleagues are convinced that children, adolescents, and adults with ADHD, as well as the families that support them, will have the most success in school and in life if they understand what ADHD is, how it is properly treated, what to expect, and how families, teachers, and pediatric clinicians can work together for the lifelong management of ADHD. Almost all children have times when their attention or behavior veers out of control. For some children, these types of behaviors are more than just an occasional problem. Children with ADHD have behavior problems that are so frequent and significant that they interfere with their ability to function adequately on a daily basis. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is the most commonly diagnosed developmental behavioral condition in children. Approximately 6% to 9% of school-aged children are affected. It is a chronic condition whose symptoms continue in 60% to 80% of adolescents and even into adulthood. It can have effects on children's learning, ability to regulate behavior, social skills, and self-esteem. If you are just starting out and learning about a new diagnosis of ADHD, or if you have just experienced a bump in the road or a setback in your child's treatment, turn your attention to the not-so-distant future. Someday, before very long, your children will graduate high school and go off to college or enter the workforce. In ADHD, What Every Parent Needs to Know, you will learn about how to build your child's ADHD support and management team so that he can enjoy his success. You will learn what ADHD is and what it is not. You will be better prepared to make treatment decisions. You will be able to choose treatments that are proven to be effective and to ignore claims for treatments that do not work. You will learn to use your own strengths as parents to build your child's confidence to support his success. Your pediatric clinician will help you understand that your child can succeed and how you can help. Today's print and online media bombard parents with a mind-clogging glut of advice. Media reports claim that ADHD is both overdiagnosed and underdiagnosed. Many argue ADHD is overtreated, but careful studies show that it is often undertreated. Claims for medications can range from groundbreaking to dangerous. How can a responsible parent sort through this quagmire of contradictory information? In this book, you will learn when to suspect ADHD and how it must be carefully diagnosed. Careful and accurate diagnosis is the most important first step in helping your child. Once your child is diagnosed with ADHD, now what? How can you and your child's pediatric clinician, teachers, and others help your child address his problems and begin to experience success? It can happen. You will learn treatment options and be guided in how to choose wisely for your child. And since not every child's treatment is immediately successful, you will learn to be an advocate for your child, and you will be alerted to other problems that might complicate your child's ADHD. Discussions of evidence will be commonly found in this book. With so many contradicting opinions about the best treatment for ADHD, it is helpful to learn how to identify true evidence about treatments and to carefully analyze claims of effectiveness. You will want to become skilled at deciding what to consider and what to ignore. You will learn how to assess these claims about various treatments. There are alternative and complementary treatments for ADHD you may wish to consider, as there is evidence that they are effective in certain ways. There are also such treatments where the evidence shows that they do not work, or are even possibly harmful. What will the future bring for your child's teen years and beyond? Your success in helping your child with ADHD will grow from your understanding of this condition. You will find that some things come easy for your child, and other things are hard. You will learn to help your child manage his ADHD by finding his strengths and helping him apply these strengths to build his confidence. He will soon manage his studies and develop strong lifelong skills that will serve him in this effort, and he will do so with your help and guidance. Chapter 1. What is ADHD? Andrew Scott had always been an active child. From the time he learned to walk, his parents noticed he was into everything. Andrew's preschool teachers frequently commented on how active he was, and his kindergarten teacher observed that he was quite a handful. First grade passed without any major problems, though his level of activity seemed to overwhelm some of the other children during playtime. In third grade, however, Andrew began to fall behind in math and reading. His teacher said he was too restless. During class, he bothered the children around him. He seemed unable to focus on a learning activity for longer than a few minutes. On the playground, he was over-physical with his peers, invading their space and then overreacting when they pushed him away. Around the middle of the year, Andrew's teacher met with his parents. His teacher told them that Andrew's problems paying attention, his high activity level, and troubles with schoolwork may indicate the presence of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. She explained that ADHD often goes undetected until children enter school and academics, and social relationships begin to be affected. Despite the teacher's positive attitude, Andrew's parents were stunned by her recommendation that their son be evaluated for the causes of this behavior. They had always been challenged by their active child, but they had never considered his behavior out of the ordinary for a healthy young boy. As Andrew's father often pointed out, Andrew was just like me when I was in school. Eager, excited, and always on the go. While both parents agreed that Andrew could use some extra help with his social skills and reading, they did not see how these behaviors could be thought of as a medical condition. "I think his teacher just can't handle him in class," Andrew's mother told her husband later when they were back at home. She has a discipline problem, and she calls it ADHD. I think it's the school that should be evaluated. The Keller family was experiencing similar confusion. Their 12-year-old daughter, Emma, was also having problems. However, she was on the quiet and somewhat anxious side. Since early childhood, she had been a dreamer, whose thoughts tended to drift easily. She often forgot things she had recently learned, or been told, and spent much of her time alone. In recent years, her randomness and lack of organization had begun to seriously affect her school performance, social life, and family relationships. She was having trouble completing tasks, and was messy and careless about her schoolwork. Her parents noted that she was often forgetful or spacey. At times it seemed as if her mind was elsewhere, and that she was not listening. Still, Emma's parents felt that her behavior was typical of many girls her age, and was nothing that a little maturation and help with organization could not cure. Was it really necessary, they asked Emma's pediatrician, to consider this a medical issue or to start an evaluation? As different as Andrew's and Emma's situation seem to be, both are typical for children with ADHD. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder limits children's ability to filter out unimportant input, focus, organize, prioritize, delay gratification, think before they act, or perform other activities called executive functions that most of us perform automatically. In children such as Andrew, with hyperactive impulse elements to his ADHD, the disorder presents itself as his not being able to control impulses or regulate activity levels, even when he knows how he is expected to behave. In those with inattentive type ADHD, including Emma, not being able to filter information means that someone walking by the classroom can claim as much attention as the teacher's lecture, and that a date with a friend can be forgotten in a flood of unsorted information. These behaviors, short attention span, forgetfulness, and not being able to sit still, unusually high activity level, and a tendency to act before thinking, are common in children. Families are often surprised when their child is referred for an evaluation. Adding to their confusion is the fact that these behaviors are present, but to a lesser degree in all children and adolescents, although those with ADHD exhibit more extreme and immature forms of these behaviors. Many school systems will not allow teachers to describe their concerns as perhaps ADHD, because they feel this is a diagnosis to be made by a physician or a psychologist. Instead, they will describe the behaviors that a child is showing that are interfering with his learning. These behaviors interfere in significant ways with children's day-to-day functioning, and they do not outgrow them at the same pace that other children do. Because other disorders, such as learning disabilities, oppositional defiant disorder, autism spectrum disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder, anxiety, and depression can resemble ADHD, and in fact, often accompany it, it can be difficult to tell whether a child has another condition, ADHD, or both. Finally, the fact that ADHD is diagnosed through careful observations of inattentive, hyperactive, and impulsive behaviors across the major settings of a child's life, rather than with laboratory tests used to diagnose such disorders as type 1 diabetes, leads some adults and the popular press to question whether ADHD exists at all. Yet a large body of convincing evidence suggests that ADHD is a biological, brain-based condition. The scientific research on ADHD is more thorough and compelling than for most behavioral and mental health disorders, and even many medical conditions. Even so, among many parents, it remains controversial and misunderstood. As early as 1998, the National Institutes of Health, responding to public concern and debate about ADHD diagnosis and treatment, assembled a group of experts for a consensus conference on ADHD. These experts published their conclusions, stating that ADHD is indeed a medical disorder. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is among the most prevalent chronic childhood disorders, second only to asthma. National survey data from 2016 show 9.4% of U.S. children have been diagnosed with ADHD. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has reported that about 4.5 million children, ages 3 to 17 years, in the United States, have ADHD. And the condition currently accounts for as many as 30% to 50% of child referrals to mental health services. Many people believe that the prevalence of ADHD has increased significantly in recent decades, perhaps due to environmental factors, but there is no convincing evidence that this is the case. The number of children who have ADHD has likely remained roughly stable, but the number of children diagnosed with the condition has increased as more clinicians have become familiar with its symptoms and the problems it can cause. In addition, while it was originally thought to go away by puberty, it is now clear that many continue to have symptoms even into adulthood. A generally reliable method for diagnosing ADHD, based on the child's behavior and functioning, has been established. Parents whose children have been adequately evaluated for ADHD, and who have implemented appropriate treatment as a result, frequently report that the difference before and after their child's treatment is like night and day. While ADHD cannot be cured, children can be helped to compensate for their problems so that school performance and social relationships improve. As a result, their self-esteem increases, as do their chances for future successes. In this book, you will learn how ADHD is defined and recognized, how it is evaluated, and how, according to the latest reliable scientific research, it can best be treated. Researchers have identified the types of behavioral, academic, and social supports most likely to be useful at school and at home. Courses and specific therapies have been developed to pass this information on to parents and teachers in the community. You will also learn about special concerns in the evaluation and treatment of preschoolers and adolescents with ADHD, and the changing effect of this chronic condition over time. This is not to say that we now know everything there is to know about the nature and proper treatment of ADHD. A number of questions remain to be answered, and there is a great deal of research still to be done. Active, ongoing studies may provide further insight into how these children can improve their experience at each stage of life. The good news is that the evaluation and treatment of ADHD is at a much more advanced stage today than ever before. Armed with the knowledge provided to you in this book, you and your child will be able to address the challenges of ADHD with confidence and optimism. Before learning about how ADHD is recognized, diagnosed, and treated, however, it is necessary to understand exactly what ADHD is and what it is not. In this chapter, you will learn how the view of ADHD has evolved over time, how ADHD is defined today, what scientists believe may cause ADHD, how the condition typically alters a child's experience, and what are its long-term effects. Through it all, always keep in mind that you have a child with ADHD rather than an ADHD child. He is a child first and foremost, and the problems associated with ADHD can be worked on. Never lose sight of the whole picture. Myths and misconceptions about ADHD. Much misinformation is circulated about attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, and its causes, diagnosis, and treatment over a number of decades. Following are untrue assumptions about the disorder, along with explanations aimed at clarifying the issues. 1. My preschooler is too young to have ADHD. Many parents believe that ADHD is a problem of school-aged children, but in fact, the symptoms of ADHD and the diagnosis of the condition can occur as early as the preschool years. At times, even doctors have difficulty differentiating typical behavior from behaviors that suggest a preschooler has ADHD. Although a young child may typically have characteristics like impulsivity or hyperactivity, these can be symptoms of ADHD as well. A pediatrician will evaluate the intensity of these behaviors in a preschooler to help in making the diagnosis. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is diagnosed when these problems get to the point where they are significantly and consistently interfering with a preschooler's life, development, self-esteem, and general functioning. 2. He's just lazy and unmotivated. This assumption is a common response to the behavior exhibited by a child who is struggling with ADHD. A child who finds it nearly impossible to stay focused in class, or to complete a lengthy task such as writing a long essay, may try to save face by acting as though he does not want to do it, or is too lazy to finish. This behavior may look like laziness or lack of motivation, but it stems from real difficulty in functioning. All children want to succeed and get praised for their good work. If such tasks were easy for children with ADHD to accomplish and provided rewarding feedback, those children would seem just as motivated as anyone else. 3. He's a handful, or she's a daydreamer, but that's normal. They just don't let kids be kids these days. It is true that all children are impulsive, active, and inattentive at times, sometimes to the extreme. A child with ADHD, however, is more than just a handful for his parents and teachers, or a daydreamer who tends to lose herself in thought. The child's hyperactivity and/or inattentiveness constitutes a real day-to-day functional disability. That is, it seriously and consistently impedes the ability to succeed at school, fit into family routines, follow household rules, maintain friendships, interact positively with family members, avoid injury, or otherwise manage in his or her environment. As you will learn in Chapter 2, this clear functional disability is what pediatricians look for when diagnosing ADHD and recommending treatment. 4. Treatment for ADHD will cure it. The goal is to get off medication as soon as possible. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is a chronic condition that often does not entirely go away, but instead changes form over time. Many older adolescents and adults are able to organize their lives and use techniques that allow them to adequately compensate for their weaknesses, so they are able to forego medical treatment, but many continue various forms of treatment and receive support throughout their lifespans. Depending on the circumstances and demands as a person matures, this may or may not include continuing with medication or other treatments for ADHD at different times, even through adult life. The true goal is to function well at each stage of childhood and adolescence and as an adult, rather than to stop any or all treatments as soon as possible. 5. He focuses on his video games for hours. He can't have ADHD. For the most part, ADHD poses problems with tasks that require focused attention over long periods. Not so much for activities that are highly engaging or stimulating like media and video games. School can be especially challenging for a person with ADHD because the typical classroom lecture can be relatively unstimulating in terms of visuals, sound, and physical activity. Assignments can be long and require sustained, organized thought and effort, and the daily routine can be less structured and predictable than a child with ADHD might require. Most children with ADHD are diagnosed during their school years precisely because the academic, social, and behavioral demands during these years are so difficult for them. The difficulties that such children experience may make it seem that school is the problem, and certainly that possibility should be considered, but it is more likely to be a result of the child's struggle to manage in this environment. Other situations that can be problematic for children with ADHD include social interactions with their constant, subtle exchange of emotion and social information, sports that require a high degree of focus or concentration, and extracurricular activities that require them to sit still, listen, or wait their turn for long periods. 6. ADHD is caused by poor parental discipline. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is not a result of poor discipline. Although behaviors that stem from ADHD can challenge otherwise effective parenting styles, inconsistent limit setting and other ineffective parenting practices can, however, worsen its expression. In chapters 5 and 6, you will find a number of proven parenting techniques that can help children with ADHD manage their behavior. 7. The problem is with the school program. They are not strict enough with my child. Just like ADHD is not a result of poor discipline, it is also not caused by bad teachers or a lack of school rules. The best teachers can see when a child is struggling and will partner with parents to seek solutions for success in school. 8. If, after a careful evaluation, a child doesn't receive the ADHD diagnosis, she doesn't need help. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is diagnosed on a continuum, which means that a child can exhibit a number of ADHD-type behaviors, yet not to the extent that she is diagnosed with ADHD. This does not mean she doesn't need help coping with her problems. The family of a child who does not meet the criteria for ADHD but has similar problems may be offered pediatric counseling, education about the range of typical developmental behaviors, home behavior management tools, school behavior management recommendations, social skills interventions, and help with managing homework involving organization and planning. 9. Children with ADHD outgrow this condition. Parents and many doctors once believed that as children with ADHD enter adolescence and then move into adulthood, their ADHD will no longer be an issue. But recent studies have shown that some aspects of ADHD can persist well into adult life for many of these children. Some adults can still benefit from the use of ADHD medication for the rest of their lives. Others have developed enough coping skills and improvement that medication can be discontinued. Sometimes in older teens and adults, medications may be used intermittently for situations and tasks that need fuller concentration. Medication use may often vary depending on what occupation they choose, and their ability to succeed in relationships and other social activities. No matter what the circumstances of particular adults may be, however, they can make adjustments in their environment, take full advantage of their own strengths, and lead very productive adult lives, even when aspects of ADHD still persist. How is ADHD defined? On television and online, in magazines and newspapers, in social media, and in thousands of everyday conversations, there is ongoing debate around whether certain ADHD-type behaviors are a typical childhood experience, or constitute a disorder that requires treatment. The issue of exactly where and how to draw the line between typical behavior and a clinical condition may become even clearer as increasingly sophisticated diagnostic techniques provide researchers with more information about the nature of the precise brain processes involved in children with ADHD. But the use of these tools and techniques for these purposes still lies in the future. For more than a century, physicians have been aware of children displaying the behaviors that we now call ADHD. In 1902, British pediatrician George Still first formally documented a condition in which children seemed inattentive, impulsive, and hyperactive, stating his belief that this was a result of biological makeup rather than poor parenting or other environmental factors. Research in the 1980s supported this hypothesis and led to the use of the term attention deficit disorder. In 1987, in response to even more precise information provided by new studies, the term attention deficit hyperactivity disorder was introduced. Today, ADHD is defined by the American Psychiatric Association as developmentally inappropriate attention and/or hyperactivity and impulsivity so pervasive and persistent as to significantly interfere with the child's daily life. Children with ADHD have difficulty controlling their behavior in most major settings, including home and school. They may speed about in constant motion, make noise nonstop, refuse to wait their turn, and crash into everything around them. At other times, they may drift as if in a daydream, failing to pay attention to or finish what they start. They may have trouble learning and remembering. They may appear disorganized. An impulsive nature may put them in actual physical danger. Because they have difficulty controlling this behavior, they may be labeled a bad kid or a space cadet. These problems begin to occur relatively early in life, before age 12 years, though they sometimes are not recognized until a child is older. However, if there are absolutely no indications of ADHD before age 12 years, an alternative explanation for a child's behaviors should be sought. Professionals have identified clear differences between the functioning of a child without ADHD and a child with the condition. The presence of ADHD may be suspected if the 1. Inattentive, impulsive, or hyperactive behavior is not age-appropriate. That is, if it is not typical of children of the same age who do not have ADHD. 2. Behavior leads to chronic problems in daily functioning, a mild tendon.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?